Hello, hello. How's everybody doing tonight? How's your day going? Good. All right, so let's just open up in a quick word of prayer here. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for who you are, Father. You are the beginning and the end. You are the author and finisher, Father, of our faith. And we just give thanks to that, Father. We pray for, you know, the ears to hear tonight, Father, hearts to be open and receptive, and for our minds to be clear of our day and of even our week, Father, right now, and that we would be solely fixated on you tonight, Father, as you just move tonight, Father, through this message that you've wanted me to share, Father, and as we pray tonight, Father. So I just pray tonight would be an incense to you, Father, and pray, and we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we have Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and we know that comes in Hebrews, right? In Hebrews chapter 12. So I want to start off by reading Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 here. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. The Alpha and the Omega, the bread of life, the faithful and true, the good shepherd, the King of kings, the resurrected life, the light of the world, the Lamb of God, the one who is and was and is to come, the author and the finisher. And these are the names of our Lord Jesus Christ. These titles represent the entirety of Christ. He is the beginning and he is the end. In the original Greek, archagos means originator, author, founder, prince, leader, and pioneer. And this gives us the idea of one who paves the way for others, the trailblazer, the one who leads that way that we look to. The original Greek teleotes means completer and finisher, and this is the idea of one who carries through or brings to completion. And so what is that? What is he a trailblazer of? What is this completion that he's bringing us to? This is his sacrificial death on the cross and his resurrection 3 days later completed God's mission of the embodiment of salvation. And Jesus, as we know, is the founder of salvation. Hebrews 2:5-11 says, "For it was not to the angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere, 'What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him, but we see for a little while who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers." So we are not freed from the reality of sin, but we are freed from its power that separates us from God. Salvation by faith came through him, and he showed us what it means to live by faith. It was faith that made it possible for him to do the will of God, even when it meant shame, pain, and suffering to the point of death. And he is the author and finisher of our faith. But what is this faith that we are speaking of here. It is the full trust and confidence in the promises and will of God. It begins as a thought, but it doesn't end there. It is more than a feeling. It is more than just a thought. It is a prompting to act. It is endurance, and he is our sustainment, which the dictionary defines as the support or maintenance of someone or something. So he is our sustainer. So what does this response to faithful action look like? Hebrews 11, 4 says, Abel offered. Hebrews 11, 7, Noah built. Hebrews 11, 8, Abraham went. And Hebrews 11, 27, Moses left. These are all actions on faith that they had in God. And they took these actions. Again, these aren't just thoughts or feelings. We need to be men of faith and action. So Jesus was faithful to the one who appointed him, fully obedient to God's will. He endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. But what was that joy that was set before him? Why did he endure? The joy of doing the Father's will, number one. Hebrews 10, 5 through 7 tells us, consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and the sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written in the scroll of the book. The joy of the book. Number two, the joy of bringing many sons to glory. And Hebrews 2:10 tells us, for it was fitting that he whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. And then lastly, the joy of returning to his rightful glory in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. As Hebrews 1:3 tells us, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So Jesus had before him joy. He endured shame, pain, and suffering to that point of death with joy. If you have the right focus and our field of view is Jesus, then we are to count every difficulty, every distress, and every trial with all joy, knowing that the reward is greater than anything we will ever experience here. We must endure these difficulties with joy. As unpleasant as they are, they also mature us. Romans 5, 3 through 5 tells us, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. With Jesus as our leader, the one we fix our eyes on, we are to run with endurance the race that is set before us. But how do we do this? By laying, it says to, in us in this verse, by laying aside every weight and every sin which clings so closely. Laying aside every weight in the Greek means to lay aside something heavy, to remove the things that are weighing you down. If you are running a race wearing a thick coat, and a pair of jeans, and a pair of steel-toe boots isn't probably the best idea, right? It's going to slow you down. It's going to drop your endurance. You're just not going to endure this race. We know that runners wear very, very light material, very light clothing, very, very lightweight shoes, and they are able to run that race. And so with us, that's kind of the image that we're being given here. Baseball players, if anybody here is familiar with baseball, they use what's called a baseball donut. It is a weighted ring that you slide onto the end of your bat, and it's used during the warm-ups of the game. You can see them in the background swinging their bat, and they have this weight on their bat. And this weight can be anywhere between 4 ounces to 28 ounces. And baseball players feel that this will help increase bat velocity because after warming up with the baseball donut, then decreasing the weight after taking the donut off, the swing feels faster. If they were to leave this weight on during the game, this would hinder their ability to properly hit the ball in any way, shape, or fashion. And so likewise, spiritually, we are to remove anything that weighs us down, anything that we are leaving on as a weight. Our anxieties, our stresses, even our busyness are heavy weights that we must remove, and we are called to be sober-minded. Being sober-minded is having our minds clear and will allow us to fully fixate on Christ. And we are not to be distracted by the world around us. If you're familiar with racehorsing, sometimes racehorses have to wear what they call blinders, which block out everything that would distract them as they're solely focused on what's in front of them, which allow them to run their race with full endurance. And so we must do the same spiritually, wearing blinders to the things of the world and focusing solely on Christ in front of us. So we are to lay aside every weight, but it also says and. And what follows that is the sin that clings so closely, or in another version it says the sin that so easily entangles us. We are fleshly creatures that still deal with the realities of sin. And sin, as we know, separates us from God. It trips up our walk, and if you trip in a race, it sets you back, you lose focus, and you begin to doubt your ability to run the race. We need to repent from our sins so that our walk can be corrected, and it also would demonstrate the maturity of faith by increasing our submission to his authority. John 3:30 says, he must increase, and I must decrease. So more of him, less of us. So we focus on the trailblazer of our race, which is Christ. It's greatly encouraging that we are also surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. The great cloud of witnesses are the men and women of the great faith who ran the race with endurance. Their testimonies encourage us in our walk that there is nothing that we can experience that others before us haven't. In this, we do not grow weary or faint-hearted, as we are also to consider him who endured from sinners hostility against himself. We look to Christ as the example of the one who bore the shame and the humility, dying a criminal's death for the sake of every single one of us. And we will experience persecution ourselves from our family and our friends, our co-workers, and people that we don't even know because they oppose our beliefs. And as Christ is our pioneer, we can endure these trials. We must always remember that what Jesus has begun, he will finish. His first coming was his death and resurrection. His second coming will be the ultimate completion. Philippians 1:6 tells us, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Charles Spurgeon said, Holy Scripture does not regard a man as perfect when the soul is perfected. It regards his body as being a part of himself. And as the body will not rise again from the grave till the coming of the Lord Jesus, when we shall be revealed in the perfection of our manhood, even as he will be revealed, that day of the second coming is set as the day of the finished work which God had begun. And so what was begun will be finished, and this is the promise of God. Spurgeon also said, Where is there an instance of God's beginning any work and leaving it incomplete? Show me for once a world abandoned and thrown aside, half formed. Show me a universe cast off from the great potter's wheel, with the design and outline, the clay half hardened, and the form unshapenly from incompleteness. So God is the ultimate worker who completes all of his works. We're told by Jesus in John 14:2-4, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, then I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. He is the way. He is the only way to the Father. He is the trailblazer we fix our eyes on. He came to endure the cross, and he said, it is finished. Our faith began with the Word made flesh, and he will bring to completion our faith when he comes again. He is the author and finisher, and he is the founder and perfecter of our faith. In closing prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for the word that you imprinted onto my heart, Father, to share, Father, that to be a reminder that you are the author and perfecter of our faith, Father, the one who we look to as we run this race, Father. Just pray that as this week continues, Father, that we would be able to keep our eyes fixed on you and not on any distractions that are plaguing us this day or this week, Father. Pray that your spirit would move tonight, Father, in this night of prayer, and that we would all speak our hearts, Father, as you move among every single one of us, Father. We just thank you for this night, and we love you, and we thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.